chapter. That's where we'll begin our study in just a moment. Good to have some visiting with us. Encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. We're delighted you're here, and we want you to feel at ease as we make our study. And one way we feel that may help you feel comfortable is to take God's Word and study with us. I have no intention of belittling anything you might believe, and yet have the responsibility of preaching the truth. In just a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song that Brother Frank has suggested. If you've not put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready, where you can confess Christ as the Son of God and be immersed for the remission of sins. This evening, I want to begin a series of lessons called Ancient Wisdom for Modern Living. And what I'd like for us to do is go through some of the wisdom literature, in particular the book of Ecclesiastes, the book of Job, the book of Proverbs, and the Psalms. And we'll probably not get to the Song of Solomon, but we'll take one lesson from each book and examine some ancient wisdom for today's living. And there's a question that I'm sure that we've all thought about from time to time as we've walked upon this earth. And that question is, what is the best thing to do with my life? Just what is the best way to live my life? And that is an important question for young people as well as all of us. What is the best life to live? And I want to begin this series by looking at some things that Solomon, the ancient man of old, the wise man, had to say about life. And in the book of Ecclesiastes and the first chapter, in verse 3, he makes a statement. He said, "What profit has a man for all his labor in which he toils under the sun?" I begin to think about, here is a man who is laboring and toiling, and he is making a living. But there's a difference between making a living and making a life. And here the man begins to ask the question, what is the best way to live life? So the first thing I begin to think about is, am I looking for answers in the right places? Where do I turn for the answers about life? Some turn to those things round about it. Many watch television shows that deal with problems in life, and they look for answers there. Many make millions of dollars giving advice to frustrated people who are searching for a better life. Some take advantage of people seeking a better life. Some will turn to educated men, thinking they have the answers. That since they've gone to school and they've got book learning, and because that they've invested time within the classroom, they have all the answers. And yet, my friend, just because somebody has a lot of book learning, that does not mean they have all the answers to the best way to live life. In fact, a business, I know some college professors with their PhD who will tell you that their fellow educators do not seem to have the answer to life, that they are struggling to find what is the best way to live. And so I want us to think about the Bible. Someone may ask, how can the Bible, written before modern technology by shepherds who know nothing about me, tell me how to live? How can a book that is ancient tell me and instruct me about how to live a life that is fulfilling? What does the Bible say about computer failures or traffic jams? And you know what the answer is? Nothing. But you know, my friend, those things are only nuisances in life. Yesterday, I tried for I don't know how long to get my email to come up. And somehow Yahoo's changed my email. And I can't get my email on my computer. And I sat there with that dumb thing. And I thought, this is a nuisance of life. People make fun of me for not using PowerPoint and not using computers all the time. But I'll tell you one thing, they are handy, but they sure can be a nuisance at times. And so I want you to think about that in life, that the answers are not what are the answers to nuisances, but what is the answer to the best way to live? Look at what he says in verse 4. One generation passes away, and another generation comes, but the earth abides. Now he says there's nothing new under the sun in regard to the mood of man, the feelings of man, the needs of man. Whatever man has felt, whatever man has needed, whatever man has needed in regard to life, that question is the same now as it was thousands of years ago. What is the best way to live life? And so we desire to know the best way to live. You know the difference between a man and a dog? A man knows he's going to die, while a dog has no clue. Now, we got a little dog, Oreo, and she can be sweet as she can be sometimes. But I'll tell you something about that dog. She has no clue that one day she'll die. But man knows we're going to die. I know I'm going to die. So I want to know what will happen to me when I die. I want to know why I am here, what is my purpose, and what is the best way to live while I'm here. And so the answers aren't found round about us. They're found in God's Word. The question again, what is the best way to live life? And what I'd like for us to do is look at four ways to answer the question. And we want to notice a few in our study and find out what works and what doesn't work and learn what gives meaning to our life. The first thing I'd like for us to do is look at some of the views that do not work. In our study, notice few answers to the question that does not help us find a better way to life. If you have your Bible, in the book of Ecclesiastes and the first chapter, look, if you will, at verse 6. In verse 6, the wind goes toward the south and turns around to the north. The wind whirls about continually and comes again on its circuit. Now, when you read that, you'll find that a man is talking about the wind and the vanity of life. And this man is beginning to tell us that the first thing you can write down is that education and wisdom does not give you all the meaning of life. Now, that doesn't mean it's not good to get educated. It's good to have an education. I'm not opposed to an individual becoming learned and smart and having a good education. But you want to know about life, you need more than education, you need wisdom. And Solomon said that that will not only help you, but then he comes back and tells us that it will give us some guidance. And yet, even with wisdom, wisdom doesn't give you the full purpose of life. Look, if you will, if in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, look at what he says in verse 7. I set my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is grasping for the wind. Solomon said, I learned all I could about life, but it didn't make sense. He said it was folly and madness. And so here was a man that looked at life, and if you looked at Solomon as he looked through the eyes of the wise and the foolish, the mad, he said you didn't find the answer to the best way of living life. He said life still had an emptiness to it. Look, if you will, in verse 3, wisdom has no real answers. And so when I think about the fact that the more I know, that only raises more questions. I remember a man that I respected in the college I went to, and he has had his PhD. And he one time said to me, Mike, the more you learn, all that does is raises bigger questions you still can't answer. And I'll tell you that it's good to have wisdom, but I care not how educated you are and where you go to school and who you ask. No man knows the answer to everything. Now, I'm not putting education down, but I'll tell you, I think it's wise if we live knowing what right from wrong and being wise. But that's not the answer that gives us meaning to life. It's not the purpose of life. So then look, if you will, in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Some people say, well, preacher, the best way to live life is to ignore everything and just enjoy life. You have those who say the best way to live life is to become wise and know everything. Well, nobody's going to learn everything. So someone else will come along and say, well, forget learning anything. Let's just be uneducated. I've got one of my children that says he would like to stay that way sometimes. that he'd rather not learn some things, and that he wants to be uneducated when mama makes him go to school. But I want us to understand education can help, but I also want us to understand some people say do away with education and just live your life the way you want to live. Well, look at what Solomon said about that. In Ecclesiastes 2 in verse 1, he said in my heart, come now, I will test you with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. Underscore enjoy pleasure. He's saying that's what you do. Live it up. Do whatever you want to do. Don't let anybody instruct you. Don't listen to wisdom. Don't listen to law. Don't listen to authority. Just do your thing. But then look at what he says. But surely this also was vanity. Well, what's vanity mean? Useless, worthless, no value. Now you think about how many people live life and they just get as much out of it as they can. That's their philosophy. Whatever your desire, do it. If it feels good, do it. And many do not look for wisdom for what life is. They just want as much pleasure out of it as they can get. Even if enjoying life was the answer, most folks don't know how to enjoy life. People go to excess parties and they go to have drugs and drunkenness and excess sex and everything and they say, this is fun. No. All they're doing is heaping misery upon themselves. Look at excess anything, recreation, money, sports. In Ecclesiastes 2, that man had all of that. And yet he said it doesn't fulfill him. It wasn't the best way to live. It didn't give him meaning in life. He could go from one party to another party, spend one night drunk and another night high. He could spend one night with this woman and another night with this woman. And he said, I'll tell you what, it didn't give me any meaning. Oh, sure, there was pleasure involved. But that man in Ecclesiastes 2 said it was not fulfilling. Obviously, we don't believe him because you'll find people who strive after those things. Yet stop and look at what you own. Look at what you already possess. Is that your life? Is that the meaning of all we are, is what we own? Most people do not enjoy life because they're too busy chasing life to live it. A television commercial comes on and a woman's running on the beach and the man sees this woman running down the beach. Then he looks at his wife, as we talked about in Bible class this morning. And there she is in her bathrobe and curlers and he says, I'm missing life. That's not life, that's an illusion. And many people miss out on life chasing illusions they think will give them purpose and enjoyment. Solomon says, enjoy the fruit of your labor, but it will not fulfill you. It will not fill the void or the emptiness of life. Some people think, if I just had a spouse, that would fulfill the void. Well, a spouse is a wonderful thing. And it's great to have a spouse, but I'll tell you, that won't fill the void. But then I want you to think about a third thing. Some people think the answer is life just doesn't mean anything. And so the best way to live life is just not to care. Some say this life is all there is. There's nothing to do but live for the moment. One generation builds a great city, another generation ruins it. Some claim we are just animals that think. Well, no. What makes us human beings is we can think about the past and the future and what life really is. Humans have eternal souls. Here and now will pass. Open your Bible to Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and look at the first four verses. And notice that Solomon said, then I returned and considered all the oppression that is done under the sun. And look, the tears of the oppressed. But they have no comforter. On the side of their oppressors there is power, but they have no comforter. Therefore I praise the dead who were already dead, more than the living who are still alive. Yet better than both is he who has never existed, who has not seen the evil work that is under the sun. Again I saw that for all toil and every skillful work a man is envied by his neighbor. This also is vanity and grasping for the wind. Notice Solomon said this is the worst answer of all. He would say better to die than to live with no purpose at all. Why suffer if there's nothing beyond the grave? So what is the answer? What is the best way to live life? Well, Solomon gives us the answer in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, look at what he says in verse 1. Walk prudently. Walk with wisdom and understanding. When you go to the house of God and draw near to hear, rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. Do not be rash with your mouth and let your heart utter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. You know what he says? The best way to live life is to be quiet and listen to God. He is in heaven and we're on earth. And you know what happens with a lot of people? A lot of people start talking about life when they really don't have the answer. And it would be best to be quiet and listen to God. He created us, therefore He's the one who gives us purpose. The way to get meaning in life is to put God first and let Him control your life. Open your Bible back to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and look at what it said in verse 11. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God done from beginning to end. Oh, look at that reference. First reference is to something about life beyond the grave. God makes beautiful everything in His time. And look at that. Put eternity in your heart, and that will fill the void. When tragedy comes, who do you want there? I'll tell you who I want. I want God there. Good people and evil people, we've been studying on Sunday morning, will suffer. And if you're human, you will suffer. But as Christians, God gives us purpose and power. There was a little girl that was in the hospital, and her mother was tending to her. And the little girl died. And the mother said, I don't understand it all. But all I can say is heaven means more to me now than ever before. The best way to live life is to live life knowing that there is a life beyond this one. That there will come a day I will stand before Christ in judgment. There will come a day that I will have to give an answer for my deeds. And that the best way to live life is to live it to the glory of God. Because Solomon said, everything else is vanity. It's grasping after wind. You ever try to get a handful of wind? You catch nothing. And that's how so many people are living. And Solomon said, I'll tell you the way to live. The best way to live is to live so that God is glorified, and you are His servant. If tonight you're not a child of God, do you recognize that you can be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ and have your sins forgiven and be given purpose in life? If you're not a Christian, I want to ask you, what's your purpose? What's your goal? What's the final end? It would be sad to say that you were educated and wise, that you were married, that you had children, that you lived a life that was well lived, except for one thing. You weren't a Christian. And then to spend eternity separated from God in a hell because you didn't live life to the glory of God. What we do is beg and plead with you to live your life to the glory of God. That's the best life lived. So if you need to obey the gospel, we pray you come as together.